This is a paid message from GoFundMe. Meet Juan Naula. When his son was hospitalized for a viral infection, Juan started a GoFundMe to pay for medical expenses.
It was $5,000 to pay the bill for my son, and I needed only 22 hours. It was amazing. People really trust on GoFundMe.
How did Juan raise $5,000 in less than a day? He posted a short video on GoFundMe, telling his story in 30 seconds.
30 seconds. Be specific, be quick, and tell what are you going to be using the funds for. I was nervous to do it because it doesn't feel okay to ask money, but you shouldn't be nervous. Sometimes you just have to do it and see the results. We were able to save my son's life. Thanks to GoFundMe that we still have my son with us.
Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This message reflects one person's experience.
This is why we love football, because things like this can happen.
Scales is up after it. Scales wins the header. It's a chance! Yeah! Oh, there's the goal! There's the goal! Yeah! That's Troy Parrott! That is unbelievable! He scored a hat-trick!
I love when he plays for his country. I know he plays for his club, that's like his job, you know, but when he plays for his country, I love when he comes out and they're singing the national anthem and all. That's when I get shivers and everything watching that.
So this means the world to me and my family's here.
Hi, I'm Troy Parrott and this is Inner Drive.
In 2019, you're getting your opportunities with Tottenham and certainly being involved in the first team. It's also when you get your first senior international cap against New Zealand. Mick McCarthy, early in the week, says that you're starting the game. It's not an hour before kickoff. That must have felt amazing. Like, I'm not sure, is it pressure off the shoulders or not, but everybody knows that Troy's making his first senior start.
Yeah, it was great. Look, as I said before, growing up I loved Ireland, I loved the Ireland team. So then to be just getting thrown in there at 17 and being able to play in the green jersey in the Aviva was great.
Also with Mick as your manager, it feels like two different time zones have come together.
I think that was the only time I was in the camp with Mick. It was great.
Is that fair to say the first real sort of special moment in your senior career? Like, you're, 17 at that point, so of course it has to be.
Yeah.
It feels massive, I'd imagine.
Yeah, definitely. Even though it was only a friendly, I think, look, if you play a friendly for your club, there's a big difference between if you play it for your country. Every game for Ireland feels like a competitive game, so it was special.
I remember McCarthy saying that week as well that he was really impressed by just one moment that you had shown in training. He said it was a good touch and a turn, and he knew from then that you had something special in you. Do you remember that week in training being different at all?
No, I think I was just in there enjoying it. Look, the level was high in there as well. I was just in there doing my best. Nothing more.
Around that period then, there's Tottenham Hotspur realising that they need to send you out on loan. You're realising that you need to get out and play some first-team football, get minutes into the legs, start scoring some goals in your senior career. Was there ever any reluctance on your part about actually going out on loan, or was it pretty certain I need to get out there at this stage?
No, I wanted to go. I wanted to go because, as I said, I was gone 2 or 3 months without playing a game. So I knew I had to go out and start playing football somewhere.
When you look back on those few years out on loan in the English football pyramid, it's one of the hardest places, I'd imagine, for any young footballer to ply their trade, given the physicality of the leagues. Everybody is trying to grind out their own living. You could be coming up against a 30-something-year-old man who's going out to injure you in a game. How do you look back on the physicality and the toughness?
It's a really difficult league, the Championship. It's, as you said, it's really, really physical and really tough. I also, when I first went on loan, struggled with injuries a little bit, which set me back. But now, looking back, it was tough.
When the loans didn't work out for him, I moved when he was with when he went to the loans didn't work out from where was it was a Ipswich and all that, and then when he went to MK Dons, he was living on his own at the time. Like he had his own place, he was living in his own apartment in Greenwich and stuff like that. And then we went to MK Dons. I says, I'm gonna move over and stay over there for a while with your son. And once I went over, and I moved over there for 2 years. And I brought the two younger kids with me, and we rented out a house, and we lived there. And then he started playing brilliant again. He starts MK Dons, he started scoring the goals, and we moved the press, and he started doing it. So I think in around, it was like as if he missed his family, and he was living on his own, you know. Which when he was with the host family, he was living with a family, and then he moved over there, and he was living on his own then, you know. But then when I went over for 2 years, he started playing great again, and then he met his girlfriend. So I don't think it's difficult when you're living on your own and you're in a different country, you know. So when we moved over, he started playing well and all again, and so it's mad. It's just family. It's just a big thing to him, you know.
How does the reality of being a footballer in England at that stage hit home? You know, the Tottenham Hotspur thing is parked temporarily in your mind at that stage. Now you probably feel like you're a grown up, you're an adult, you're sort of earning your living as a footballer in England. How does that reality sit? Is there any sort of case where homesickness maybe starts to come in at all during that period of your life, or how are you handling the grind of that stage?
No, I was fine. I liked it. But when I was going on loans and stuff, my end goal was always like back to Tottenham to play there, you know. But I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the loans. Met some really nice people. Played for a lot of different clubs in all over England. So it was nice.
Gary Rowett seemed to be a particularly good manager to you during those few loan spells. Is that correct to say that he would have been kind of the best of the mentors that you would have had?
I don't think so.
Okay,
I did get on well with Gary. But in terms of the best mentor, no.
Who would have been the leading mentor you had in that period?
I was quite close with Liam Manning when I was at MK. And I was quite close with the trainer of Excelsior when I was there, Marinus.
Okay. On Liam in the first instance, is that a period where you start to really find your feet when you're playing at MK Dons and he's obviously the man taking you through it?
I think so, yeah. That was probably the, after Excelsior, the best loan that I had was at MK. There was a bit of a different feeling to that one, because I feel like a lot of the players that we had were all kind of in the same situation, you know, around the same age as well. So when I was at Millwall, there was a lot of older players. But when I was in MK, everyone was kind of pushing to get to the next step, you know.
It was a young squad.
Sorry?
It was a young
squad. Yeah, it was a very young squad, yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. It just had a bit of a different feel to it.
Do you notice something click at that point at MK Dons for you as a footballer?
Yeah, because when I was at MK, that was my third loan, I think. And I realised, like, I'm not going to keep getting these chances. Like, I have to start doing what I'm supposed to do. It went okay.
We'll get to the Netherlands in just a moment, but when you look back on England as a whole, is it a positive experience?
Yeah, for sure. I think everything that I've been through and all the clubs I've been to, and the bad loans, the good loan, I think it's all helped me to be where I am now.
Is it true that the bad loans would help you develop quicker than the good loans?
Yeah, probably. Look, it's always nice to have a better loan, but you learn just as much from the bad ones.
Is the Premier League dream still something that you hold close to your heart, or is it more whatever happens, happens?
No, whatever happens, happens. Now the Premier League's the biggest league in the world. But since I've moved away from England, I've realised that there's a big football world outside of the UK.
That's it. We're so England-centric, really, even in Ireland. All you got to do is step outside last night to see all the AZ fans mm-hmm. and like how they like worship this football team and how important this team is to this town. So talk to us about when Excelsior gets put on the table, the opportunity to go to the Netherlands. What are you thinking?
I don't know. I spoke with my agent and I thought at that stage I was ready to try something different. So when he said, yeah, Excelsior, to tell the truth, I didn't even know who Excelsior was at that stage. And then we went over, we met them, went into the club and had a look around and stuff, and then just went for it.
What did you like when you had a look around?
It's a small club, very small club. But again, it's really nice people there as well. But yeah, it's a small club.
You get your boots in the ground, you have a very good season, and then AZ come knocking. After being here for a little period of time, you're far more aware of AZ at that point. You jump at the opportunity, I presume.
Yeah, yeah. I think as soon as we kind of started speaking about it, I had my mind set on that. I think I was ready to go from Tottenham. I think we were both ready to go separate ways. So, yeah, I was set on that.
This season, then, has been the season of your life. Why has that happened?
Don't know. Hard work. Look, as I said, I've made some changes in how I am off the pitch. And I believe that all of that stuff is helping me.
Yeah. And that off the pitch stuff has been happening from the first day you set foot in Tottenham Hotspur as well. And like just on the gym work, as you mentioned there, maybe a lot of that just takes time to come to fruition.
Well, yeah, it's also a mentality, you know, like you can go in the gym and you can mess around for an hour and not get much done, or else you can go in and do what you have to do. And for a while I was messing around, and this season I kind of took it more serious.
Go on then, give us the Troy Power gym program. What's been the big difference?
They actually give me the program to do, so there's a lot of different stuff and it's changing every couple of weeks as well, so it's hard though.
Yeah. Like, what would it I presume this time of the season you're doing nothing in the gym?
No, we still do it.
You
now.
Still do it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
What would you be doing this week, for example, other than, you know, trying to get over the celebrations? Over
well,
the
this yeah, this week's been a bit different because we've been partying for the last three days. But no, there's upper body gym, lower body gym, a lot of core work as well. There's a lot that goes into it.
And do you find that the body's holding up better then in terms of, like, avoiding injuries?
Definitely. Definitely. I think around this time last season, I kind of broke down a little bit. I missed the last four or five games of the season, I think. But this season, I feel good. I've had no issues apart from at the start of the season, which was something that I couldn't control.
Can I ask you about the mentality piece that you talked there about there? And you mentioned there in the gym, it's just about staying focused. But how else has the mentality changed? Because I think most modern elite sports people are at least interested in the idea of psychology and how their mind works. A lot of people just dismiss it because that's what works for them. Are you somebody who taps into that?
No. I try to stay out of my own mind most of the time. I'm easygoing. I believe in if something's going to happen, then it's going to happen.
That in itself is a fascinating insight into your mind. Is that, I don't want to use the word manifestation because that's probably a phrase that is sort of an alarm bell for you in terms of that psychology, somebody trying to put a label on how I think, but it kind of is manifestation.
A little bit. I try not to think into too much about anything really. Look, I'm just, as I said before, I'm easy going. I believe that if I keep doing what I'm doing and keep putting the work in, then I'll get the rewards.
What keeps you grounded then? What allows you to not think too much about things?
I'm not sure. That's just the way I am.
Okay.
Yeah.
Going back to the injury that you couldn't do much about earlier this year, at the time, look, there's no good time to get injured. Was it particularly frustrating because the World Cup qualifiers were just about to start?
Yeah, it was very frustrating. It was frustrating for that reason and the fact that I'd started the season and scored in every single game for the first 8 games, I think. And I tied the record for AZ. And then I couldn't actually play the next game to try and break the record. So I was frustrated for that reason as well. But yeah, missing the qualifiers was a big thing.
That sort of stuff is really important though. Like actually, again, top scorer this season, like being a goal scorer, that's the sort of stuff that you trade on. Like it may seem trivial to people that, oh, you didn't catch record X or Y, but not to you, like this is your livelihood.
Yeah, for sure. It might be only a small record of the most goals in consecutive games or something, but it's hard to do. 9 games, every game. But yeah, look, it's something that's important to me.
Those first internationals then, say the Hungary game in Dublin, where do you watch that?
I was there. I went to the game.
Right.
They gave me a couple of days off so I could fly back and watch it.
What was that experience like?
I loved it, to be honest. I loved sitting in the stand and seeing the game from everyone else's perspective. And then we scored late in the game as well. It was good.
Amazing. And obviously the Armenia result isn't a great one. You are back for the Portugal away game. That's your first game back, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you feel something different about that Ireland camp? Because I remember before the Hungary game, Paddy McCarthy was saying that this team is now starting to really feel like it's going to go places and we think we're going to do something special. And there was a few eyebrows raised around that comment, particularly so after the first Armenia results. And then after November, everybody's like, this is what Paddy McCarthy was talking about all along. Did you feel that same thing before the Portugal away game?
I think we felt it more after the game.
Okay.
Because it took 94 minutes for one of the best teams in the world to score against us. I don't think we played great in that game. We defended really well, but with the ball we didn't create anything. So I think after that game it was more of a comfort in the way that we're going to defend, you know. And then if we can add the bits up the top, then we have a chance to win games.
It's really positive takeaway from it. You're on the pitch when they go 1-0 up late on. So that's your first reintroduction to the Republic of Ireland after your injury, I mean. So is that a challenge for you over the next couple of days to kind of maintain that positive mindset and say, listen, we've done really well here. This thing is still alive, because a lot of the fans were saying that this thing is looking unlikely at this point.
Yeah. No, I think it looked unlikely for everyone outside of the group. But we knew, I'm not sure the points we were behind, but we knew if we could beat Portugal, then we'd have a good chance, so everyone believed in it.
In the middle of those two games is Armenia at home, which I think is actually a really important moment. I think it's an important moment for you as well because of the performance you put in off the bench. Can you talk to us a little bit about that game, the position you take up and how you're feeling after that win?
It was good. I was just happy to be back. I was happy to be back from the injury. I obviously wasn't nowhere near 100% because I think I just came back maybe 2 or 3 days before we met up. But it was good. I came on, kind of had a bit of a free roll to run around and basically try and score or try and set up a goal. But no, it was a good feeling when we won.
It looked like you were a right winger that day.
Yeah, I think I was playing on the right, yeah. I just got thrown on anyway, I think, so we could score a goal.
Because then that became the conversation ahead of the next window then, is what happens with Troy Parrott? Because as you say, the unbelievable scoring run at the start, everybody was saying he's got to be a starter for the Hungary game at home. That's taken away. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, the real tone leading into the Portugal game was, you got to start Troy and Evan together. And then he suffers his injury. How do you think that would have gone? I know we're talking about an invented world here, you and Evan together, but yeah. It looks like that would have happened.
No, it's hard to say. It's hard to say. I don't know. Look, it's just funny how things work, because it's also possible that I would have started on the bench in that game. And then that probably doesn't happen, and then the next game doesn't happen, and everything would have been different probably. So it's funny how football works.
Crazy. The Portugal game, obviously, you're so confident going into that. Like, as you say, the answer you gave there about Lisbon, illustrates it perfectly. You feel that you're good enough to beat this team, and it manifests itself on, to use that word again, on that evening against Portugal.
Yeah, well, we hadn't had a big win against a big nation in a while, and every time we've played big nations, it's always been the conversation like, "Would you a win against one of these teams?" And we defended at home the same way we did away. Only this time we had more at the top. Yeah, it was a great night.
What sort of attention did you feel that came on you for the Hungary game compared to the Portugal game, when they'd obviously analysed the tape from that Thursday night and they said, right, this is obviously the danger man? Did you notice a different approach to you, or was it much the same?
No, not really. It was the same. Yeah, there was no difference.
So talk to us about Budapest then.
One last throw of the dice. It's all on this from Creamy Kelleher. Scales is up after it. Scales wins the header. There's a chance. Yes! Oh, there's the goal. That's Troy Parrott. That is unbelievable. He scored a hat-trick. And right at the death, Ireland have done it. I've never seen
it. Is it still something that you manage to find huge amounts of joy in?
Of course. I think I always will. It's obviously hard now because of the way that's all ended, but I'll have that forever.
In terms of the third goal, that's the moment that people will take away from this, the iconic commentary, your brilliant interview afterwards. But for you, is there a moment during the game or after the game that comes on a par to that, even in the private moments after the game with your family, with your teammates, whatever the case may be? What are the memories that really stick out from those few hours?
Celebrating in the change room after is always great. But I actually didn't do much. I went back to the hotel with my family and sat down and talked for most of the night. It was nice to just kind of come back down a little bit after such a high.
That feels like the perfect way for you to celebrate, because like, we know how important family is to you, and it just feels like the perfect day for Troy Parrott to go out and score a hat-trick for his country, spend some time with your family and just chill out.
Yeah, it was. It was good. It was great. It was even better that they were there in the stadium to watch it as well.
So do you know what it's like? It's like, you know, when you see that clip over and over again. Do you ever watch a Rocky movie and you keep on watching the Rocky movies? It's like you never get tired of watching that clip all over and over again. And every time I watch it, it's like as if I get very emotional when I watch it. It's like as if it only happened yesterday. So you'll never get fed up watching you, and you'll never forget it. You know, it was brilliant. We all went back to the hotel. Troy was staying in the same hotel that we were in. All his teammates flew back to Ireland, and he stayed back with us because he had a couple of days off. And we just sat in the lobby. There was a lobby there, and you could hear a pin drop in the lobby. It was that quiet. We were just all sitting there saying, what is that just to happen? We couldn't believe what was that to happen. And then, as we said, we got a little bit hungry, so we walked up as far as KFC, got KFC and brought it back to the lobby and sat in there. And then the next day we all went out for lunch the next day. And it was great to spend that time after that happened, because for him to take it all in, like for him to come home with his teammates and all, and it was just crazy at home here. But he was able to take that all in.
One thing that felt amazing as a fan watching that was, as you say, the scenes in the dressing room of your generation of Irish footballer finally getting what you deserve. It feels that you've been through the ringer up until that point, and look, Prague has absolutely been put through the ringer as well, but up until that point, you just weren't getting the rub of the green, lots of bad luck. To finally see the likes of yourself, Nathan Collins even, Caoimhín Kelleher, in an Ireland kit, happy, smiling, celebrating, felt like a first for us. Did it feel like a first for you?
Yeah, definitely. I think since we've been in, we haven't done well. And I feel like the connection between the team and the fans and the whole country was kind of broken a little bit. And it's obviously down to results and not going to tournaments and stuff. So to see like all of that coming back was great.
And that's not gone anywhere. No matter what happened in March, like, it really feels that that's here to stay. Did you feel that even after the Macedonia game, that there was this real sort of powerful energy,
yeah,
not even in the stadium, but even when you're around home and stuff?
Yeah, definitely. even that, like, we play against the other loser from the playoffs, and there's about 45,000 people coming out to watch on a Tuesday night in a friendly. It goes to show that there's a good connection back between us.
You managed to spend some time at home during that week.
Yeah, I got a few days off, so I was back home with the family.
What did you get up to?
Not much. Nothing actually, just sitting around all day.
We heard a story of you going out on the bike, doing a run to the deli counter.
Oh yeah. No, that did happen. Yeah, I went over to the shop on this on my brother's bike. Got chicken filler rolls. Came back to the house.
Because there's been some editorial dispute on our end. Was it chicken fillet rolls or was it breakfast rolls?
No, it was chicken fillet rolls.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't do breakfast rolls, only chicken fillet rolls.
Gotta ask, what do you get on yours?
Spicy chicken, taco sauce and grated cheese.
Right, there you go. That's the elite sportsman's order. So if you want to score a goal like Troy Parrott,
yeah,
that's
what you need to order. You can't eat too many of them.
That must have been amazing though, just wandering around, cycling around home those couple of days, and just like, I'm not sure how much of a sort of quote-unquote celebrity you feel like, or if you're getting stopped much in the street. Do you get treated just like an ordinary lad around Dublin?
I would say so. It's nice to be able to just go around where I'm from, you know.
Yeah. And I'd say there's always a sense of them being so deeply proud of you and also not wanting to bother you. If they see Troy out, it's like kind of a hello rather than a stopping for a couple of minutes.
Yeah. No, it's good because I feel like everyone in that area wants me to do well, you know. I can feel that. I can feel the support that comes from there as well. So it's nice to have.
Where does Prague now sit? Like, is it something that you think about every day? Or again, as somebody who has a job to do here in the Netherlands, do you kind of have to park it pretty quickly because you've got to score goals for your club side as well?
No, because it's still in there somewhere. I think it's not just something that is easy to forget. It hurt a lot. The first week after was very hard. Obviously, everything gets better with time, but it's still in there somewhere.
Is it a hurt in the sense of we're going to be missing out on a career moment? Is it hurt in terms of replaying moments of the game over in your head?
All of it. There's so many different reasons on why. As you said, going to a World Cup, replaying moments, the fans, how much everyone was up for it and how much everyone wanted to win, the teammates, some of the older teammates who maybe won't get the chance to go to a World Cup. There's a lot of reasons.
That's certainly one of the first things that came to my mind, was thinking of the likes of Seamus, for example. Obviously, you've got a couple of more opportunities, to say the least, but that's kind of the heartbreak about it. That's the really poisonous one to think about, is the older teammates.
Yeah, well, that just adds to it all, you know. As I said, there's so many reasons on why it hurts. It's not just like we lost a game of football. There's a lot that goes into it.
In terms of your own game that night, nails your penalty in the penalty shootout.
The first Irish player to step up and take a penalty, no surprises, Troy Parrott. He said before that he wants to take the responsibility for these big moments for his country. He's already scored two penalties in the campaign tonight and also against Hungary. The first of his three goals that took Ireland to this stage. He owes his country nothing.
No better player in the Irish team to take it.
Troy Parrott steps back, takes a stunner and he puts it into the back of the net. Kovacs was nowhere near it. He stumbled to his right, landed on his knees, and Troy Parrott stuck it in really confidently, really assuredly. Ireland lead the shootout 1-0.
Nails your penalty in the penalty shootout, nailed your penalty in the first half of the game as well. What's going through your head in those moments? Do you feel nervous? Do you do nerves?
Yeah, I get nervous sometimes. I don't know. It's just in the heat of the moment, you're not really thinking of anything. Obviously, when you go 2-0 up, you know you have a good chance to win the game. And then we were winning on penalties, then you think we have a chance to win now on penalties as well. But look, it just it wasn't to be.
Yeah. You managed to take your sort of ability out of the context of the situation, it sounds like, when you're taking a penalty. It's fairly close to how you take it in a training session in terms of how you feel and how your body's reacting to that moment.
Yeah. Look, it's different in training, because if you're doing it in training, it means nothing, you know. There is, when you're standing there, some nerves, butterflies in the stomach, but it is what it is. It's a penalty.
I asked you a moment ago about maybe the difference between Dublin and Budapest in that week, the difference between Budapest and Prague. That must have been different in terms of how opposition teams are setting up against you, just by dint of the fact that you've been Ireland's most famous player.
Yeah, no, I think so. I think I felt like there wasn't much space for me to go. They played with five in the back, so they had three centre-backs, which is a more defensive shape as well. So it was hard to find spaces in the game.
Probably something you're used to at this stage as well, though, from the club game as well, that extra attention?
Yeah. Look, it's their job to stop us from scoring. And it's our job to score. It's literally... that's how it is.
You've got to be fairly selfless as well as a striker sometimes in the modern game, and bringing your teammates into it becomes the priority as opposed to actually scoring goals.
Yeah, because if there is more attention on me or another player, then that definitely comes into play, because I might be able to make space for other people.
One of the other moments from Prague was the long throw in, the ball's knotted on, comes to your head. And you do get your chance. You've got so close attention on you for the whole game, and it's a brilliant header with your one chance at the game. Talk to us about that moment. What do you remember from it?
It was a very good save, actually.
Yeah.
But look, that's what I was talking about as well, with just being in the right areas, you know. Darius flicked on, and then I was able to get my head onto it, but no, it was a good save.
Have you watched that game back?
No.
It's the last Czech penalty. Step back. He's near the edge of the box. Kelleher, star shape between the sticks. It's kicked into the back of the net. And Ireland are out. Absolutely devastating for the Republic of Ireland. And Ireland are out.
Do you think you ever will?
No.
There's not much to be gained from it. What about the World Cup this year? Will you watch the World Cup this year?
Yeah, I love the World Cup. Definitely.
Yeah. And there'll obviously be, you know, a tinge of regret about Ireland not being there. But I don't know, is it too optimistic to say that this team is good enough and probably is deserving of a World Cup qualification spot in 4 years' time, in 8 years' time? I'm not sure if you've even begun to think about 4 years' time, given Prague is so fresh.
No, I haven't. I think a big thing that I've learned from this campaign is how hard it actually is to qualify for a World Cup. So you might deserve to, or you might be good enough to, but there's always the possibility that you don't go. So that is one thing I've learned from this camp.
Could I ask, do you think that the renewed interest from the fans and this unbelievable support that was there in Prague, for example, how much of an edge do you think that's going to give this team going forward?
It'll make us better, 100%. Look, when Ireland fans are like that, they're the best fans in the world. And they go over to places and they take them over. So we're going to need them.
It was something that was right on the top of your mind after the defeat in Prague as well, to tell the Irish public to not stop believing in us. It's amazing to have that presence of thought, and the sort of gravity that you spoke with that night and after the game in Budapest was so notable, and it's just so interesting that the Irish supporters were top of your head, because I guess it was hard to ignore them that night in Prague. They made such a big impact.
Not even that night, the whole time, the whole week. They, as I said, went over to Prague and took it over. I was seeing videos all the time online of different things, and even the support in the stadium, and there's the green section in the corner, and then you're looking around and there's just green jerseys everywhere else in the stadium as well. So, look, I think it's important to take notice of stuff like that for me.
Yeah, because I guess it's been so long for since Irish football fans have had these sorts of moments. It feels as well this team is something that the public can really get behind in terms of your personalities and you as individuals. If you're winning, it obviously makes a big difference, but I don't know, I presume you'd absolutely stand over that in terms of the dressing room and the characters in there, the personalities in there. They're just a bunch of lads that I think the country wants to support.
Yeah, well, we are Ireland fans before we're players. Do you know what I mean? So it's, everyone is pushing in the same direction to go to tournaments and playing big games.
Yeah, it's amazing. Just a couple of other things before we wrap up. If you look back, and I know we've reflected quite a lot on your time in England over the course of this conversation, if you had to almost give a younger version of you any bit of advice before going on that journey, not if you change anything, because I suspect you'd keep a lot of the things the same way, what would you tell him? Because it's been a battle for you at times, and you finally had the season that your talents and that your career deserves.
Keep going, believe in yourself. Everyone's journey is different. Everyone's on their own path. Keep going.
In terms of what happens next, cheeky question, why on earth are Bayern Munich tweeting an emoji of a parrot?
I don't know, I did see that, but I'm not sure what that was all about.
Listen, Troy, a pleasure to chat to you. Thanks a million for your time, and thanks for having us here in Alkmaar.
No, I appreciate it, man. Thank you very much.